Well, hello everyone, and welcome back to Coaching with Carrie Live right here on Blog Talk Radio. Fridays at 11 a.m. Central Standard Time. I hope you had a wonderful and productive week and that you're heading into a great weekend. And today, we're continuing on with the concept of the one thing, the national bestseller that we've been going through for the past few weeks now, that was written by Gary Keller and Jay Papasan. And it really does talk about and shows us how to live out the concept of the one thing. And it's surprisingly simple truth behind getting extraordinary results. And last week, we talked about the three commitments that you need to make after you've bought into the one thing concept in order to really live your life with purpose, by priority and for productivity. It's truly something that all of us need to continue to work towards. And I hope you were inspired to do that after the last session. I know I sure was. And today we're talking about the four thieves, because we talked about the three commitments that need to be made. And now we need to be aware that there are four thieves that are going to try to hold you up and rob you of your productivity. And, you know, all of us, our best intentions can easily be undone. And so earlier in this coaching session, as I started the one thing, we talked about the six lies that will likely deceive you and mislead you, derail you from success. Now we're going to talk about these four thieves. And since there's no one standing by to protect, could rob you of your productivity. And so you need to be aware of it and need to learn how to think about these things differently, stop them in their tracks before they rob you of your productivity. The first one, well, it's your inability to say no. You know it's true. It's hard for all of us, and yet it really does need to happen. So we are going to talk about that. The second thing is your fear of chaos. Again, it's something that none of us really look forward to, and yet with success and achieving extraordinary results, chaos is going to happen. So we're going to talk about that. And your poor health habits, if you have them. You might not even realize you have real poor health habits, but there certainly are things you can do better in your life to make sure that you can be more productive. And lastly, your environment. Does it support your goals? If it doesn't, it's going to rob you of your productivity. So first, let's start with the inability to say no. Someone once told me that one yes must be defended over time by 1,000 no's. And, you know, early in all of our careers, many of us probably didn't understand this at all. I think today, as most of us move forward in our careers, it's an understatement for us. You know, it's one thing to be distracted when you're trying to focus, yet it's another entirely different thing to be hijacked before you even get to it, right? The way to protect what you've said yes to and stay productive is to say no to anyone or anything that could derail you. Peers are going to ask you for advice and help. Coworkers are going to want you on their team. Friends will request your assistance. Strangers will seek you out. Invitations and interruptions will come at you from everywhere imaginable. And how you handle all of these truly will determine the time you're able to devote to your one thing and the results you're ultimately able to produce. Imperative that you understand what you're saying no to. Screenwriter Sidney Howard of Gone with the Wind, of course, you've all heard that movie and I'm sure you've watched it, once advised, one half of knowing what you want is knowing what you must give up before you get it. In the end, the best way to succeed big is to go small. And when you go small, you do have to say no a lot more than you might have ever considered before. No one knew how to go small better than Steve Jobs. So let's talk about that. He was famously as proud of the products he didn't pursue as he was of the transformative products Apple created. In the 2 years after his return in 1997, he took the company from 350 products to 10. That's 340 no's, not counting anything else proposed during that period that we don't even know about, right? At the 1997 Macworld Developers Conference, he explained, when you think about focusing, you think, well, focusing is saying yes. No, focusing is about saying no. And Jobs was after extraordinary results, and he knew there was only one way to get there. And Jobs was a no man. The art of saying yes is, by default, the art of saying no. Saying yes to everyone is the same as saying yes to nothing, really. Each additional obligation chips away at your effectiveness at everything you try. So the more things you do, the less successful you are at any of them. You can't please everyone, you guys, so you might as well not try. The one person you absolutely won't please, well, That's yourself. And remember, saying yes to your one thing is your top priority. As long as you can keep this in perspective, saying no to anything that keeps you from keeping your time block should become something you can accept. Then it's just a matter of how. And all of us struggle to some degree with saying no. This is just the reality. There are many reasons, right? We want to be helpful. We don't want to be hurtful. We want to be caring and considerate. We don't want to seem callous and cold. And all of this is totally understandable. Being needed is incredibly satisfying, and helping others can be deeply fulfilling. Focusing on your own goals to the exclusion of others, especially the causes and the people we value the most, can feel downright selfish and self-centered, but it doesn't have to. Master marketer Seth Godin says, you can say no with respect, and you can say no promptly, and you can say no with a lead to someone who might say yes. By just saying yes, because you can't bear the short-term pain of saying no, is not going to help you do the work. And he gets it. You can keep your yes and say no in a way that works for you and for others. Of course, whenever you need to say no, you just need to say it and be done with it. There is nothing wrong with this at all. In fact, this should be your first choice every time. But if you feel there are times you need to say no in a helpful way, there are ways to do it that can still lead people forward towards their goals. You can ask them a question that leads them to find the help they need elsewhere. You might suggest another approach that doesn't require any help at all. You might not know what else they could do, so you could help them by gently prompting them to get creative. You can politely redirect their request to others who might be better able to assist them. Now, if you do end up saying yes, there are a variety of creative ways you can deliver it. In other words, you can leverage your yeses, help desks, support centers. The information resources couldn't exist without this kind of strategic thinking. Pre-printed scripts, frequently asked question pages or files, written explanations, recorded instructions, posted information, checklists, catalogs, directories, and pre-scheduled training classes can all be used to effectively say yes while still preserving your time block. Gary Keller started doing this in his first job as a sales manager, and he leveraged training sessions to cut frequently asked questions off at the pass, and then by either printing or recording them, created a library of answers that his team could access whenever he wasn't personally available. The biggest lesson that he's learned is that it helps to have a philosophy and an approach to managing your space. Over time, he developed that he would refer to as the 3-foot rule when he held one of his arms out as widely as possible from his neck to his fingertips, it's 3 feet. So he made it kind of his time managing mission to limit who and what can get within 3 feet of him. And the rule was simple. A request must be connected to his one thing in order for him to even consider it. And if it's not, then he either says no, or he would then, of course, use one of the approaches that we just shared to deflect it elsewhere. So learning to say no isn't a recipe for being, you know, a recluse. It's just the opposite. It's a way to gain the greatest freedom and flexibility possible. Your talent and abilities are limited resources. Your time is not limited. If you don't make your life about what you say yes to, then it will ultimately most certainly become what you intend to say no to. So that is what we need to understand. When you give your one thing your most emphatic yes and vigorously say no to the rest, you truly will have extraordinary results. They will become possible for you. And, you know, the key to, not everybody and no one really truly knows the key to success, but the key to failure is trying to please everybody. That we do know. And it's really advice worth living by. If you don't say no a lot, you'll never truly be able to say yes to achieving your one thing. And literally, it's one thing or the other, and you just have to decide. So I hope this will inspire you to learn how to say no or leverage your time differently. And you can say no in ways that don't make you feel bad. You can redirect and still help people and still protect your time. Secondly, the fear of chaos. We know we all have it. And there are some of us that we realize we are fearing chaos, and some of us subconsciously are fearing chaos. And so we are not pushing forward because subconsciously we don't know what we will do if we succeed. It's not a really funny thing, and it always happens along the way to extraordinary results. Untidiness, unrest, disarray, disorder. When we time block, clutter automatically rakes up residents around us. It's going to happen to you. It happens to everybody who truly is finding their way to extraordinary results. Messes are inevitable when you focus on just one thing. While you whittle away at your most important work, the world doesn't sit and wait. It stays on fast forward and things just rack up and stack up while you bear down on a singular priority. Unfortunately, there's no pause or stop button, and you just have to realize that. You really can't run life in slow motion, even though we know sometimes we want to. Wishing you could will just make you miserable and disappointed. So you need to be okay with what's reality and what is going to happen. One of the greatest seeds of productivity is the unwillingness to allow for chaos or the lack of creativity in dealing with it. Focusing on one thing has a guaranteed consequence. Other things just can't get done. Although that's exactly the point, it doesn't automatically make us feel any better about it. There will always be people and projects that simply aren't a part of your biggest single priority, but they still matter. You will feel them pressuring you for your attention. There will always be unfinished work and loose ends lying around to snare your focus, and your time block can feel like a submersible, where the deeper you commit to your one thing, the more pressure mounts for you to come up for air and address everything you've put on hold. Eventually, it can feel like even the tiniest leak might trigger an all-out implosion. And when this happens, when you give in to the pressure of any chaos being left unattended, it can be total relief. But not when it comes to productivity. This, you guys, it's a package deal. When you strive for greatness, chaos is guaranteed to show up. And in fact, other areas of your life may experience chaos in direct proportion to the time you put in your one thing. It's important for you to accept this instead of fighting it. You just need to accept it. Okay, get used to it. Get over it. Now, in anybody's life or work, there are some things that just can't be ignored. We get it. Family, friends, pets, personal commitments, or critical job projects. At any given time, you may have some or all of these things tugging at your time block. You can't forego your power hours. That's a given. So what do? Well, the reality is that you, depending on your situation, your time block might initially look a little different from others. Each of our situations is unique. Depending on where you are in your life, you may not be able to immediately block off every morning to be by yourself. You may have a kid or a parent in tow. You may be doing your time block at a daycare, nursing home, or some other place you should be. Your alone time may have to be at a different time of the day for a while. You may have to trade off time with others so they protect your time block and you, in turn, protect theirs. You may even have your kids or parents help you during your time block because they simply must be with you or you actually need their support. If you have to beg, then beg. If you have to barter, then barter. If you have to be creative, then just be creative. You just don't be a victim of your circumstances. Don't sacrifice your time block on the altar of I can't make it work. The reality is that it can work. You just need to make it happen. When you commit to your one thing each day, extraordinary results ultimately occur. And in time, this will create the income or opportunity to manage the chaos. So don't let this thief pickpocket your productivity. Move past your fear of chaos. Learn to deal with it and trust that your work on your one thing will ultimately come through for you because it truly will. Number three, your poor health habits. You know, basically, Gary Keller was once asked, if you don't take care of your body, where will you live? It was a real question. He had been fighting the painful side effects of basically a disease, and he says in the book, we don't want to know about it. And he was dealing with continually shaking legs, a debilitating side effect of cholesterol-fighting statins. His ability to function, much less focus, was extremely compromised, and the challenge to overcome it was daunting. His doctor gave him some options and asked him what he wanted to do, and the answer was to change his health habits. It was then that he discovered one of the greatest lessons of extraordinary results. Personal energy mismanagement is a silent thief of productivity. When we keep borrowing against our future by poorly protecting our energy, there is a predictable outcome of either slowly running out of gas or prematurely crashing and burning. You see it happen all the time. When people don't understand the power of the one thing, they try to do too much, and because this never works over time, they end up making a horrific deal with themselves. They go for success by sacrificing their health. They stay up late, they miss meals or eat poorly and completely ignore exercise. Personal energy becomes an afterthought, allowing health and home life to suffer becomes acceptable by default. Driven to hit goals, they think of cheating themselves as a good bet, but this gamble just can't pay off. Not only does this approach consistently short-circuit their best work, it doesn't help. And hearth will just be waiting for you to come back and enjoy any time in the future. High achievement and extraordinary results requires big, big energy. And the trick is learning how to get it and keep it. So what can you do? Think of yourself as the amazing biological machine you are and consider this daily energy plan for high productivity. Begin early with meditation and prayer for spiritual energy. Starting the day by connecting with your higher purpose, align your thoughts and actions with a larger story. Then move straight to the kitchen for your most important meal of the day and the cornerstone of physical energy, a nutritious breakfast designed to fuel your day's work. You can't run long on empty calories, and you can't run at all on an empty tank. Figure out easy ways to eat right and then plan all your daily meals a week at a time. Fueled up. Head to your exercise spot to relieve stress and strengthen your body. Conditioning gives you maximum capacity, which is critical for maximum productivity. If you have limited time to exercise, the simple thing to do is to wear a pedometer. Toward the end of the day, if you haven't walked at least 10,000 steps, make it your one exercise thing to reach your 10,000 step goal before you go to bed. This one habit truly can change your life. Now, if you haven't spent time with your loved ones at breakfast or during the workout, go find them. Hug, talk, and laugh. You'll be reminded why you're working in the first place and be motivated to be as productive as possible so you can get home earlier. Productive people thrive on emotional energy. It fills their heart with joy and makes them light on their feet. Next, you have to grab your calendar and plan your day. Make sure you know what matters most and make sure those things are going to get done. Look at what you have to do, estimate the time it will take to do them, and plan your time accordingly. Knowing what you must do and making the time to do it is how you bring the most amazing mental energy to your life. Calendaring your day this way frees your mind from worry about what might not get done while inspiring you with what you will do. It's only when you make extraordinary results that they get a chance to show up in your life. And when you get to work, go to work with your one thing. If you're like many of us and have, you know, some morning priorities you must get done first, then give yourself an hour at most to do them. Don't loiter and don't slow down. Clear the decks and then get down to business of doing what matters most. Around noon, take a break, have lunch, and turn your attention to everything else you can do before you head out for the day. And lastly, in the evening, when it's time for bed, get 8 hours of sleep. Powerful engines need cooling down and resting before taking off again, and you're no different. You need your sleep so your mind and your body can rest and recharge for tomorrow's extraordinary productivity. Anyone you know who gets little sleep and appears to be doing great is either, quite frankly, a freak of nature or hiding its effects from you. Either way, they aren't your role model. Protect your sleep by determining when you must go to bed each night and don't allow yourself to be lured away from it. If you're committed to your wake-up time, you can stay up late only so many nights before you're forced to hit the hay at a decent hour, right? If your response is that you have too much to do, stop it right now. Go back to the beginning of the book and start over because you're apparently missing something. When you've connected proper sleep with your success, you'll have a good enough reason to get up and you'll go to sleep at the right time. The highly productive person's daily energy plan is truly what I just talked about. You need to do that. It's a secret plan. When you spend the early hours energizing yourself, you get pulled through the rest of the day with little additional effort. You're not focused on having a perfect day all day, but on having an energized start to each day, and it can have a highly productive day until noon. The rest of the day falls easily into place with energy creating positive momentum in your life every single day. And structuring the early hours of each day is the simplest way to extraordinary results. And lastly, environment isn't supporting your goals. If that's the case, it's robbing you of your productivity. So let's talk about that. Early in Gary's career, he married a married mom of two teenagers sat in front of him and was crying. Her family had told her they would support her new career as long as nothing at home changed. Meals, carpooling, anything that touched their world couldn't be disrupted, and she'd agreed, only to discover later how bad a deal she'd cut. As Gary listened, he suddenly realized that he was hearing about a productivity thief almost everyone overlooks. Your environment must support your goals. Your environment is simply who you see and what you experience every single day. The people are familiar. The place is comfortable. You trust these elements of your environment and quite possibly even take them for granted. But be aware, anyone and anything at any time can become a thief, diverting your attention away from your most important work and stealing your productivity right from under your nose. For you to achieve extraordinary results, the people surrounding you and your physical surroundings must support your goals. No one lives or works in isolation. Every day, throughout your day, you become in contact with others and are influenced by them. Unquestionably, these individuals impact your attitude, your health, and ultimately your performance. These people around you may be more important to you than you think. It's in fact it's a fact that you're likely to pick up some of the attitudes of others by working with them, socializing with them, or simply just being around them, from coworkers to friends to family. If they're generally not positive or fulfilled on the job or away from it, they'll probably pass on some of their negativity. Attitude is contagious. It spreads easily. As strong as you think you are, no one is strong enough to avoid the influence of negativity forever. So surrounding yourself with the right people is the right thing to do. While attitude thieves will rob you of energy, effort, and resolve, supportive people will do what they can to encourage or assist you. Ultimately, being with success-minded people creates what researchers call a positive spiral of success, where they lift you up and send you on your way. Who you hang out with also has serious implications for your health habits. There's just a ton of studies that have been done about this and written in this book. You can read about it. It is so impactful, the people that you hang around with. For instance, if you hang around a lot of people that do drinking, eat too much, you likely are to do the same. Why? Because the people we see tend to set out our standard for what's appropriate. In time, you begin to think, act, and even look a little like those you hang out with, but not only do their attitudes and health habits influence you, their relative success does too. If the people you spend your time with are high achievers, their achievements can influence you. They will influence you. A study that basically was featured in the psychology journal Social Development shows that out of nearly 500 school-age participants with a quote-unquote best friend relationship, children who establish and maintain relationships with high-achieving students experienced gains in their report card grades. Further, those who had high-achieving friends appeared to benefit with regard to their motivational beliefs and academic performance. Hanging out with these people who seek success will strengthen your motivation and positivity and will positively push your performance. Your mother was right when she cautioned you to be careful of the company you keep. The wrong people in your environment can most certainly dissuade, deter, and distract you from the productivity course you've set out on. But the opposite is also true. No one succeeds alone and no one fails alone. Pay attention to the people around you. Seek out those who will support your goals and show the door to anyone who won't. The individuals in your life will influence you and impact you probably more than you give them credit for. Give them their due and make sure that the sway they have on you sends you in the direction that you truly want to go. If people are the first priority in creating a supportive environment, place isn't far behind. When your physical environment isn't in step with your goals, it can also keep you from ever getting started on them in the first place. And so I know it sounds oversimplified, but to succeed at doing your one thing, you have to be able to get to it. And your physical environment plays a vital role in whether you do or you do not. The wrong surroundings may never let you get there. If your environment is full of distractions and diversions, and you just can't help yourself. You've gotten caught doing something you shouldn't, and you won't get where you need to go. Think of it as having to walk down an aisle of candy every day when you're trying to lose weight, right? Some may be able to handle this easily, but most of us, we're going to sample some sweets along the way. What is around you will either aim you toward your time block or pull you away from it. And this starts from the time you wake up and continues until you get your time block bunker at nighttime. When you see and you hear from the time your alarm rings to when your time block begins ultimately determines if you get there, when you get there, and whether you are ready to be productive when you do, then you need to make sure that all of this is pushing you in the right direction. What we've learned is that when you clear the path to success, that's when you consistently get there. Don't let your environment lead you astray, you guys. Your physical surroundings matter, and the people around you matter. Having an environment that doesn't support your goals is all too common, and unfortunately, an all too common theme of productivity. So start saying no, you guys. You know you can do it, and you can do it in a respectful way. And you can still help people, but you need to say no, because remember, when you don't say no, you are saying no. When you say yes, you're saying no to things that really matter. Accept the chaos, because the reality is it's going to happen. It's unavoidable. Make peace with it. Learn to deal with it. The success that you will accomplish when you focus on your one thing will lead you to where you need to go. And you need to manage your energy. Don't sacrifice your health by trying to take too much on. Your body is an amazing machine, but it doesn't come with a warranty. You can't trade it in, and repairs can be costly. And lastly, take ownership of your environment. Make sure that the people around you and your physical surroundings support your goals. The right people in your life and the right physical environment on your daily path will support your efforts to get to your one thing. Lastly, I want to leave you with a quote from screenwriter Leo Rosten. He pulled everything together for us when he said this. The purpose of life is to be useful, to be responsible, to be compassionate. It is, above all, to matter, to count, to stand for something, to have made some difference that you lived at all. So go out there and live with purpose, live by priority, and live for productivity, you guys. Follow these three for the same reason you make the three commitments and avoid the four thieves we've just talked about, because you want to leave your mark. You want your life to matter. Thanks so much, you guys, for listening again today with Coaching with Carrie Live here on Blog Talk Radio. And next Friday at 11 a.m. Central Standard Time, we're going to talk about the journey that you need to go on to truly live your life in this one thing concept. I'm going to leave you with a Chinese proverb that says, to get through the hardest journey, we need to take only one step at a time, but we must keep on stepping. Thanks, you guys. Have a great weekend, and I'll see you back here next time on Coaching with Carrie. Thanks, everyone. Bye-bye.